Welcome to Focus on the Community on WAMW. Each week, we focus on a topic important to our community. Focus on the Community is sponsored by First Federal Savings Bank in Washington and in Lagodi.
And on Focus on the Community, it's great to have my friend and the state chairman of the Democratic Party in Indiana, John Zodi. Good morning, John.
Morning, Dave. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for being in the studio today. Well, John, we just recently got through the Indiana primary election, and now we're gearing up toward the fall midterms. And you've got a big challenge in this state, first of all, as the chairman. As you know, when you and I worked together at the State House, Democrats not only had a governor, but we also had control of the Indiana House. Now Democrats struggle to have enough members to even break quorum in either chamber of the Senate or House. And obviously, there hasn't been a Democratic governor since Joe Kernan. Can you give, I guess, people your take on the strength of the Democratic Party right now and what you guys see as maybe a positive direction the party is going during the midterms?
Sure. Well, it's a good question. Thanks for asking. I think the strength of the party is building. After the 2016 election, we started seeing lots of people become interested, a lot more people, I should say. Certainly, there are a lot of people already interested, but more people interested in the political process here in Indiana. There were a lot of events, marches, rallies, things like that. And the important thing was to make sure that we signed people up to volunteer or registered them to vote. And then that we stayed in touch with those folks and figured out what they wanted to do to get involved in the process. And so that has turned into us recruiting more volunteers, more candidates than we have had in the recent past. And so now we see that we've got a lot of candidates running out there that have finished the primary now, and we are going to continue our training program and make sure that they have the tools they need in the fall to get involved. So that's how we've built the strength. As you know, in 2017, there were no elections in Indiana, so we had time to build that infrastructure up. And so now what we've got to do is give them the tools they need for the fall, talk about our positive message about what Indiana Democrats are for, better wages, more early childhood education, protecting access to health care, safety and security, those sorts of things that we talk about out on the road. And so we feel that we're in a strong position. We know that we've got a lot of hard work to do. Our candidates are out there working. I've always compliment our legislative candidates who have been running. Some have been running since right after the 2016 election. They decided they wanted to do it. They jumped in, they started running. And so and we've got great candidates running here in the southwest part of the state as well.
Well, let's talk in general from the top of the ticket on down. I guess, of course, Joe Donnelly being the only statewide elected official for the Democrats these days, he's got a tough reelection this year. He's considered one of the more vulnerable Democratic senators in the country. Mike Braun surprised a lot of people and won the Republican primary, and he self-funded with at least $6 million of his own money. First of all, give me your thoughts about a Braun versus Donnelly race this summer, and I'm sure why you think the Democratic incumbent is a better choice for Hoosiers.
Well, what we've done is been able to stay focused with Joe Donnelly as our candidate during this primary season. The three candidates that ran on the Republican side were basically the same candidate. They're different people, but they were basically the same candidate. They couldn't distinguish themselves from one another. And Mike Braun, despite his best efforts and his $6 million, he was not able to distinguish himself from any of the other candidates on the stump and in the debates. And so really no disagreement on what he would have done to balloon our deficits, and couldn't find one area in which he disagreed with Donald Trump. It's this kind of thing that we talk about. At the same time, Joe Donnelly's been able to get out there and stay focused on health care, stay focused on veterans, stay focused on helping working families. And so we feel confident that where Joe is right now, his campaign infrastructure is good and put together. And so we know we are realistic that it'll be a tough race. We know Joe is one of the most targeted races in the country, so we are not naive to that, but we feel good about where we are.
What about Joe Donnelly when it comes to, let's say, more of the liberal left side of the Democrats? I mean, I'm sure you've had some people complain that what is this senator doing bragging that he's voted with Donald Trump 62% of the time in 2017? Mm-hmm. Does that give you concern as the chair of the Democratic Party that Senator Donnelly has such a high number when it comes to supporting initiatives by the president?
Well, I think what it shows is, and what I've asked people to keep in mind, is Joe is willing to work across the aisle when necessary. This state is moderate. We have shown that we will elect, you worked with a couple Democratic governors, three Democratic governors, I think, in your time in the legislature, Dave. And so we elect Democrats statewide. We elect Republicans statewide. And so it's important to remember that Joe's going to do what he thinks is best for the state. I know as the chair of the party that he is a Democrat, a proud Democrat, but also that he's going to do what he thinks is best for everybody in Indiana. When I worked for Frank O'Bannon, he always said what's best for Indiana. He didn't really put a partisan label on it when he was in office, even though he was a Democratic governor. And so I always think about that. When I think of when you're in office, you've got to do what you think is best for the entire 6.5 million people here in the state. And so Joe has said he will work with Donald Trump when he thinks it's right. He won't when he thinks it's wrong. And so, but it doesn't change the fact that he has fought very, very hard and will continue to fight for organized labor, for health care, for our veterans, and for people in Indiana in the middle class. For instance, the McConnell tax bill voted against that because he doesn't feel that it does things to protect the middle class here. So those are Democratic values, and Joe holds those very strongly, and I feel confident that our base understands that. There are obviously votes that people don't agree with here and there, and that's okay. As Democrats, we don't agree with each other on everything, but we do agree that people deserve health care. We do agree our veterans need to be taken care of. We do agree that we are stronger when we know organized labor is strong, and Joe understands those things.
What I find interesting, and obviously for those who may not know me, I'm a former Democratic elected official, so I'm going to obviously support Joe Donnelly, but he's also a good friend of mine. But what I find amazing, Mr. Chairman, is that in the days where people easily label someone far liberal or far conservative, you know, there seems to be less people serving right now, like a Joe Donnelly who tries to be moderate. Maybe the word that maybe we all need to embrace from both sides right now is just simply pragmatic. Do you feel like Joe Donnelly's that kind of a guy where he's just going to roll up his sleeves and just get the job done?
100%. And I really think, you know, I've been involved in politics about 20 years here. And people in Indiana are pragmatic. They expect people to get the job done. And I'm not trying to be overly simplistic or hyperbolic, but we want things to get done. Like you Hoosiers are very task oriented, you know, and they think, okay, we elect people to government. We want government to work. The nonsense that we have seen at the State House and in the Congress right now with, you know, voting to shut down the government, and those are things Hoosiers like, you know, and Joe has been very consistent on making sure that the job of the Congress is to make government work and do it in a smart way. And so those are things Hoosiers, I think, understand and respect. And so I think pragmatism does have a role in government. And I've been in and out of government myself, as you have. And we've seen that when people are pragmatic, you can get things done.
We're talking with John Zodi. He is the chairman of the Indiana Democratic Party, and talking just in general terms right now about the upcoming midterms. Let's shift now from the U.S. Senate race, which will be on everybody's radar now through November, but talk about the legislative races. You've got all 100 representatives on the ballot this year. You've got half the Senate on the ballot. Right now, the Democratic Party is in a tough spot. You can't even break quorum because there's not enough members to shut the process down, even if the minority party wanted to. Give people an update on where do you think the Democrats, especially in this part of the state, may be competitive in some of these upcoming races and why.
Sure. Well, I think back to my earlier comment about the energy that's out there, the candidates that work here, and we're in Brazil right now, and Evelyn Brown, who's running for District 42. You know, the first thing she said about why she wants to run with everything that's going on at the State House, and then we turn to what she needs to do to campaign, and Evelyn understands what you have to do to get out there, knock doors, talk to voters about the right issues. And Evelyn, those are things Evelyn understood instinctively. And so that's what makes Evelyn Brown here in District 42 a great candidate in a competitive seat. So we look across the state at some of the seats that have been gerrymandered. And we believe that that's something that people, number one, understand. And number two, despite the way the lines are drawn, we have people running right now in 83 districts. And of course, up until June 30th, sort of something to make sure people know, is that parties have until June 30th to nominate candidates that didn't run in the primary. So local office here in Clay County, I know Clay County Democrats are working to get some folks online by June 30th, and also in the legislature. So we have candidates running in 83 of the 100 House districts, which is more than we've had in a number of years. And so it's important to know that people around in tough districts are running because they understand that elections are about choices. And previously, we may not have given voters a choice in some of these places, but they are now. Around suburban Indianapolis and some of the areas where we've lost some ground, people are running. And so Evelyn here in District 42 in Western Indiana, Jim Exline running against Bruce Borders in District 45, Chris Gamble running against Senator John Ford here in District 38. Those are areas where we believe we are competitive, and we believe we can break that supermajority in the House and we'll make a difference moving forward.
And we're recording this program to air on all of my stations. So we'll go down toward the Washington area in my old legislative seat. Joe Lannon won the primary on the Democratic side recently. So you've got him facing Shane Lindauer, mm-hmm. who was the candidate or the person who replaced Mike Braun when Mike decided to run for U.S. Senate and left office in the House of Representatives. So he's a first time person on the ballot this fall, at least in the general election. What do you think about District 63 and some of those areas closer toward the southwest pocket of the state?
Yeah, well, it's about getting people out there and again, giving people a choice. Joe is a first time candidate, a candidate we had there a few years ago. Andrea Hulsman was a first time candidate. It's young, and they're also young. Mm-hmm. They are millennials, if you will, I believe. I don't know their exact ages, but they're younger candidates, under 40. And so we've got to build a bench in the party. If we're going to be a strong party, we've got to build a bench across the state. And so people like Joe, people like Andrea, who are running in legislative districts. And, you know, that's tough ground. You held that seat for a long time, but it is tough ground for Democrats. And so giving people choices are going to make more people get out to vote. And so we are glad that Joe has jumped in. Joe's got, you know, experience in agriculture. He's an educator and helps local communities advance those interests. So we think Joe's a good profile for that district.
But what do you say to people that, well, Davies County, for instance, they're still struggling to get candidates, and Donald Trump got 79% of the vote in that particular county in 2016. What do you say to local Democrats that are just struggling to not only find candidates to run for office on the Democratic ballot, but how do you give those folks who claim to be Democrats, but they feel like they're in a wilderness right now, especially in parts of the state?
Well, it's tough. I know that, and the other realities to politics too. I grew up in a county where that's solid red and there aren't many Democrats elected anything over in Morgan County. And so there are realities to politics. So you look at where your priorities need to be. And I know Davies County pretty well from that's the first place we, you know, you represented it and we worked together down there in the 2000 election. And so I know Davies County pretty well. And you just have got to understand your political atmosphere. You've mentioned the statistics with President Trump, but understand what do you think you can win? What do you want your priorities to be? Is it best to have a full slate of candidates? Is it best to have a few candidates to focus all your efforts on to try to get them elected? I know counties in tougher areas have done that, and it's been successful. One thing this year, we've got candidates running not just for Congress and state legislature, but all the way down to the township level. And so when you look at those smaller jurisdictions, township, county council, city council next year, those are places where Democrats can pick up some steam, and that's where people get their feet wet running for the first time, maybe, and they'll go on to do something else if they win or don't win.
We've got a few minutes left as we're talking with John Zody, the state chairman of the Indiana Democratic Party. If people want to get more involved in the Indiana Democratic Party, feel free to plug your website, but you might want to touch on the Indiana State Convention that's coming up next month for the Democratic Party. How can people attend and get involved if they're new to the party?
Yeah, that's a good question. June 16th, we will gather in Indianapolis for our biennial state convention where we'll nominate candidates for state treasurer, secretary of state, and state auditor. People that attend that convention and have a vote in the process are state delegates who are elected in the primary. And, of course, if a county has vacancies in their state delegation, their county chair can appoint people to fill out that delegation. And so they'll come to Indianapolis. We'll talk about our party platform, the things that we stand for as Indiana Democrats, and we will nominate candidates for those offices. So that's one way for people to get involved. And a lot of people ran for state delegate this year, also precinct committee person all over the state. And so that's one way to get involved. We're also have a heavy presence on social media. Encourage people to sign up and tell us what you want to do to get involved. If you're interested in running in a place where there are still some vacancies for candidates, we ask people to get involved that way by contacting us or their county chair, and we can point you in the right direction. But there are going to be a lot of things to do this summer to help candidates running to advance our values through our candidates leading up to November 6th.
And a final opportunity here, Mr. Chairman. If you're just talking to people today who either they're not politically active or that they don't even claim to be a Democrat or Republican, what do you say to these people around the state? Why should they take a closer look at some of your Democratic candidates, especially in this fall's election?
Yeah, well, first of all, we encourage them to vote, right? There are things to vote for. It's a critical time in the life of our state and nation. So vote, first of all. And when you look at who you're going to vote for, look at the values that we stand for. Look at the things that Democrats in Indiana stand for. Better wages, early childhood education, protecting health care, safety and security. Look at the positive alternative we offer to really the gridlock that's happened because of the majorities in the other party in Washington and at the State House. So keep an open mind and think about voting for Democrats. We need check and balance at the State House. We need check and balance in Congress in Washington.
And give your website address for those that might want more information.
It's ndems.org, and we're at ndems on Twitter, and we're on Facebook as well.
Okay, and I'll just say this for those who might be listening, wondering, why are you giving all this airtime to the Democratic chairman? Here's an open invitation to your counterpart. Is it Kyle Huffer? Is
he Huffer,
yep. Yep, state chairman of the GOP. He has an open invitation to take some airtime to give the counter opinion to of the Republican Party, and we'll invite him to come in this summer anytime he's in the area. All right, John, anything else you want to add?
No, I appreciate you having me on today, Dave. Thanks.
Okay, John Zodi, the state chairman of the Indiana Democratic Party on DLC Media's Focus on the Community.
Focus on the Community is sponsored by First Federal Savings Bank in Washington and Ligotti. You could listen to a rebroadcast of today's show Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m. on 4-Star Country, The General, 95.9 FM, 1580 a.m. You can also download a copy of today's program and listen to past shows by visiting WAMWAMFM.com. Be sure and tune in every Saturday morning at 8:35 a.m. on Memories 107.9 FM WAMW and each Sunday morning on 95.9 FM and 1580 AM WAMW as we focus on the community.